We come to this evening's message based on 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1 to verse 23. Dua Tawarikh, pasal ke-20, ayat ke-1 sampai ke-23. We come to this passage which shows to us an event which occurred in the life of King Jehoshaphat, which caused him to despair and to turn to God to seek his help. And it is a passage which is of great significance in that it shows to us this matter of facing crisis in life. This morning we mentioned about how crisis affects us in a personal way, and how it is that often there is this internal struggle leading us to rely upon God. And we said that although it was in the experience of Jeremiah that he was thrown to trust in God until he rested in Him, it was a lesson to us with regard to our coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Often we are brought low before we could come to trust in Him. Pagi ini kita sudah pun mempelajari dari ratapan Yeremia mengenai bagaimana menangani krisis dalam kehidupan kita. Itu suatu gambaran mengenai bagaimana iman kita boleh tergugat, tergoncang, tergoda sehinggalah kita insaf akan kelemahan kita sendiri, sehinggalah kita bersandar kepada Tuhan kita. Sungguh pun iman kita tergoncang dan kita sedar bahawa kita ini lemah. Itu ada kebaikannya. Kebaikannya ialah kita terkena bersandar kepada Tuhan kita supaya terselamat. This evening we come to realize that it is not only those who have been shaken in faith who are brought low to depend on God afresh. But we come to realize that even those who are walking a faithful life with the Lord might face crisis in life in which they have no recourse, no solution except to turn to God. Dalam Nas Alkitab pada petang ini, kita dapati bukan saja mereka yang angkuh, yang perlu direndahkan hati mereka sehinggalah mereka terasa kelemahan mereka sebelum mereka bersandar kepada Tuhan. Bahkan pada orang yang beriman pun, mereka ada kalanya bertembung dengan krisis dalam kehidupan mereka dan terkena mereka bersandar terus kepada Tuhan mereka. Jadi, bukan saja mereka yang angkuh, yang perlu direndahkan hati mereka sebelum mereka bersandar kepada Tuhan. Tetapi bagi mereka yang sememangnya setia kepada Tuhan, mereka pun perlu juga bersandar kepada Tuhan. Ada kalanya krisis berlaku. So it is not only those who are proud who need to be brought low before they are made to rest in the Lord, but it is also those who are faithfully serving God, who actually have never been proud, who are appearing to be blessed by God in many ways, but they also face with crises in their life such that they are forced to throw themselves afresh upon God. So you see now that this matter of crisis in life is not complete if we just consider those who might have been proud and self-righteous and self-dependent, who needs to be brought low before they are brought to trust in God. But remember that those who are walking faithfully before God also may face crises in life, and there are lessons, useful lessons to learn from the life of Jehoshaphat. Remember, who was this Jehoshaphat? He was one of the good kings of Judah, and good kings were a precious commodity. In the northern nation, before they were taken away, there were hardly any good kings at all. Most of the kings who ruled were bad kings, and God chastised the nation and caused the Assyrians to come and destroy them. The southern nation were constantly threatened by having bad kings as well, but thankfully there were more good kings compared to the northern nation. And these good kings, when they rule, come as a breath of fresh air. Di negara Yehuda terdapat raja-raja yang baik. Di antara raja yang baik ialah Yehoshaphat. So from this, the life of Jehoshaphat, we come to realize that although he was a good king, he nevertheless had weaknesses of a terrible kind which destroyed all the good that he accomplished. Not long ago, just very recently, we considered the danger, the terrible danger of compromise in spiritual things. Now, a lot of people do not look upon it as so terrible, but from the life of Jehoshaphat, you see how terrible it is, that all the good you build up can be destroyed just by your compromise. And it is so subtle, it is so easily overlooked, that God wants faithfulness on our part. And when you compromise your stand for the truth, God really dislikes that. But a lot of Christians do not seem to see the importance of being faithful to God. People tend to look upon so-called big sins, adultery, murder, things like that. People look out for those. But when we come to unfaithfulness, we fail to see that God really dislikes all this subtle hedging on our part, subtle compromise of our stand, our principles against His truth. So He does not like that at all. Kebanyakan Christian sentiasa diberi amaran supaya jangan berzina, jangan membunuh, semacam dosa-dosa ini terlalu penting. Tetapi mereka terlupa bahwa kekurangan kesetiaan kita kepada Tuhan apabila kita berkompromi, itu juga dinampakkan sebagai suatu dosa besar kepada Tuhan. Tuhan memang tak inginkan orangnya, orang miliknya, tidak setia kepadanya dari segi kebenaran. Sekiranya kita orang milik Tuhan, kita hamba Tuhan, kita ingin membuat sesuatu baginya, Dia inginkan kita taat kepada kesemua perintahnya. Satu contoh yang sudah kita nampak ialah dalam kehidupan Raja Saul sebelum Daud. Dia semacam taat kepada Tuhan tetapi dalam cara umum, tidak khusus kepada perintah Tuhan. Dan dia dikutuk Tuhan. Tuhan lebih inginkan orang yang taat kepadanya dalam semua perkara lebih daripada kita membakar korban kepadanya. In the case of Saul, it was a very obvious example, very salutary example to us. We see his life. He obeyed God in a general way, but God wanted particular obedience. You want to obey him right to the particulars. And you see how Samuel was sent to him to condemn him, showing that you cannot just obey generally and claim that you have been obedient to God. If you are a servant of God, if you want to serve God, make sure that you obey him all the way through. He wants to see such faithfulness. So to us, faithfulness is not a small thing. Unfaithfulness is not a small thing. Unfaithfulness to God, when we compromise the truth. And so we want to learn from Jehoshaphat to avoid compromise, because that is a particular weakness that many otherwise useful Christians fall into. Kita ingin mempelajari dari kehidupan Jehoshaphat bahwa berkompromi dalam pendirian kita terhadap kebenaran itu adalah sesuatu yang sepatutnya dielakkan. Kebanyakan orang Kristian lemah dalam hal ini. Kita senang sangat berkompromi dalam pendirian kita. Dan bukan saja ingin kita mempelajari dari segi ini. Kita ingin juga mempelajari bagaimana Tuhan akan memberkati mereka yang bersandar kepadanya. Dan itu menjadikan kompromi Yehoshafat lebih ketara, lebih nyata, lebih teruk. Sekiranya kita tidak dapat tahu bahwa Tuhan memang ingin memberkati mereka yang setia kepadanya, kita tidak akan tahu seteruk mana ketidaksetiaan itu. So it is because God is faithful in all his dealings that when unfaithfulness on our part shows itself, it becomes so obvious because the contrast stands out so clearly. So we want to see how God blessed Jehoshaphat in the periods when he did not compromise. How God really gave his all to his people, as it were. And then when Jehoshaphat compromised, why it was that God withdrew all his blessings such that it appears as though everything he built up came to nothing. And you say, it's just a small thing. But God says, nothing. I don't count all your good works before that. It's all cancelled by your compromise. And Jehoshaphat barely escaped damnation. He's one of those who is saved. But as to fire, mentioned in 1 Corinthians 3. So we come now to look at how God is faithful to his people and blesses his people in times of great difficulty. Now, remember that no Christians are spared crisis in life. And of course, all Christians are encouraged and urged and actually required by the scriptures that we constantly walk closely with God and don't try to go our own way and don't try to be disobedient to him, but try to live in faith day by day. And is it such a difficult thing? Yes, in one sense it's difficult. We live in a world that is full of trials and temptations, and our bodies are so weak, and often we fall. But precisely because God knows the situation we are in and the weakness of our character, God has promised never to leave his people, never to forsake us. He promises his presence and his help. And his promise is sure. You can count upon his word. He will ensure that we have the strength to go through each day. So if ever we fall at all, it is because we have failed to take heed to what God says. We have disobeyed him. We have gone our own way. It is not because God has failed to fulfill his promise. Tuhan sememangnya sudah pun memberi janji kepada orang-orang miliknya. Dia tak akan beralih dari kita. Dia sentiasa bersama-sama dengan kita. Dia akan memberi kita kuasa untuk membuat apa-apa yang diperlukan. Apa yang kita perlu buat ialah kita sentiasa taat kepadanya dan kita bersandar kepadanya. Sekiranya kita terjatuh, sekiranya kita terpesong, itu bukan kerana Tuhan sudah melupakan kita, tetapi itu kerana kita sendiri sudah bersalah. Kita tidak taat kepadanya, tapi Tuhan sememangnya setia dan dia tidak akan memungkar apa-apa janji yang sudah diberikan kepada kita. Jadi pada masa itu, Yehoshafat tidak di dalam keadaan yang berbahayakan. Negara di utara itu dikuasai oleh seorang yang bernama Ahab. Ahab itu ialah saudara melalui perkawinan anak Yehoshafat kepada gadis anak perempuan Ahab. Jadi mereka itu bukan musuh. Dan di sekeliling mereka itu, tiada bangsa yang lebih kuat daripada mereka. Yehoshafat sebenarnya selamat. Dia mempunyai peluang untuk melayani Tuhan dengan sepenuh hati. Dia menjadikan, membawa pembaharuan kepada negaranya itu. Now, Jehoshaphat at that time was living in peace with the northern nation. Ahab was ruling there. And by marriage of his son to his daughter, there was peace. There was no fear of attack from the north. Now, of course, we know that in the first place, it was wrong for him to be involved with
the infidels at the in the north there. Ahab was a bad man. He shouldn't have allowed his son to marry with the daughter of Ahab. But that aside, what we want to take note of is that there was peace with the northern nation at that time. And no nation around was strong enough to overcome them. Jehoshaphat therefore had the opportunity to introduce reforms in the nation. And he brought about many good things in the nation. Judah became strong, peaceful. The people were prosperous and happy. And you see now that Jehoshaphat also inherited the rule of his father Asa, who happened to be another very good king in Israel in his time. Asa introduced reforms. Asa tried to obey God as best as he could. And Asa had already left over this nation, which was largely a blessing from God. So Jehoshaphat really had the opportunity of a lifetime to walk closely before God to obey him. But then a crisis occurred. Chapter 20 tells us that the surrounding nations, although by themselves individually, could not overcome Judah, they nevertheless came to this method of combining forces to fight against Judah. Di dalam pasal ke-20 ayat 1, krisis berlaku pada kali pertama apabila seluruh bangsa di sekelilingi Yehuda bergabung kuasa untuk melawan Yehuda. Dengan sendiri mereka tidak berkuasa, tetapi mereka bergabung kuasa untuk melawan Yehuda. Itu menjadi suatu krisis yang pertama ditembungi oleh itu Yehoshaphat itu. Jadi apakah terjadi kepada Yehoshaphat? Apakah kesannya terhadapnya? Kita dapati bahwa dia berasa takut. Dia takut dan dia terkena berputar kepada Tuhan dan bersandar kepadanya. Kita dapati dalam ayat ketiga itu. We find in verse 3 that Jehoshaphat turned his attention upon God. He was fearful and he could not do anything. So he turned his heart to God to seek the Lord and to proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. Now, we want to take note of this, that even among those who are walking closely with God, who are serving him faithfully, even among such, there will come times when we are shaken in our faith. There are times when we are unable to overcome the problems around us. Now, because of our constant act of faith in God, times of crisis are easier to handle in the sense that we are used to turning to God in prayer. We are used to looking up to Him in faith. So if you are not in the normal habit of trusting in the Lord and seeking to do His will, you discover when times of crisis come, then you are seeking God. Like those who come to seek God only when they are in need of Him. Whereas for the case of Jehoshaphat, it was not like that. He had been obeying God, and now a crisis occurred. When he turned to God, it was a natural thing, and we can expect that God will not turn him away, because he is coming to God with the right attitude, with the right heart. It is not a case of not wanting God when you are well, and then turning to God when you are in need. No, it was not a case like that. Jadi bagi Jehoshaphat, sememangnya dari kehidupan dari hari ke hari, dia sememangnya sudah beriman dan bersandar kepada Tuhan. Bila berlakunya krisis semacam ini, dengan apa senang saja dia bersandar kepada Tuhan. Dan kita yakin Tuhan akan menerimanya kerana dia bersandar kepada Tuhan dengan hati yang ikhlas. Dia bukan berputar kepada Tuhan oleh kerana adanya krisis. Kalau tiada apa-apa krisis, dia tidak perlukan Tuhan. Bila berlaku krisis, baru dia putar ke Tuhan. Tidak, dia bukan seorang yang semacam itu. Tak kira ada krisis atau tidak, dia selalu saja bersandar kepada Tuhan. Jadi kita yakin orang semacam ini apabila bertembung dengan krisis dan dia berputar kepada Tuhan, Tuhan tak akan menolaknya, Tuhan akan terimanya. Jadi itu menunjukkan betapa pentingnya dalam masa aman kita pun beriman dan bersandar kepada Tuhan. Jadikan itu satu kebiasaan kita. We need to see that here is the lesson that every day living in faith is of such great importance. We need to cultivate that habit of constantly depending on our God, constantly turning to our God, instead of waiting until crisis comes. Then we must take note of a few things following that. Take note that Jehoshaphat saw the situation as a spiritual matter. It is not just foreign countries coming to invade, but instead he relates it to God's covenant with his people and how God has from long ago determined that there should be a people chosen up specially for him. We see that very clearly in his prayer in starting from verse 6. O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and you do not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations, and in your hand is there no power and might that no one is able to withstand you? Then he goes on to mention the prayer of Solomon at the time when the temple was first built and how Solomon dedicated the temple to God. Solomon had said that whenever his people are faced with problems and they turn to God facing the temple, God will listen to them, and if they were to be scattered, God will bring them back. So there is this covenant relationship that God has established with Abraham, with his children, with the people of Israel. Now Jehoshaphat is conscious at this time that there is that special relationship with his people. The land has been given to them according to this covenant. And so when these enemies come to try to disperse them, it was against God, against God's will. And therefore it is a spiritual matter. It is not just a physical matter. Bagi Jehoshaphat, dari doanya terhadap Tuhan, dalam doanya kita tahu dia sememangnya sedar bahawa pertempuran kali ini bukan secara jasmani saja, bukan duniawi saja. Ini adalah peperangan rohani. Kesemua orang ini cuba melawan orang Yahuda. Akan tetapi orang Yahuda ialah orang pilihan Tuhan. Tuhan sudah pun membuat perjanjian dengan Abraham bahawa keturunannya akan diberkatinya dan mereka diberi tanah suci itu. Dan mereka, maka mereka yang cuba melawan mereka sebenarnya sedang menentang kehendak Tuhan. Dan Yehoshaphat dalam doanya menyentuh mengenai doa Raja Sulaiman sebelumnya, Solomon sebelumnya. Raja Solomon apabila bait Tuhan dibina, bila dia berdoa, dia berkata sekiranya orang milik Tuhan memerlukan pertolongan Tuhan dan mereka berdoa menghadapi bait itu, Tuhan akan mendengar mereka. Jadi kesemua ini ada hubungan dengan pertempuran dari dalam alam rohani. Itu perlu kita lihat. Kita perlu sedar dengan hal ini. So we must be conscious that there is that spiritual dimension to the things that are happening to us. And how does this apply to our life? Whenever we are intent on living to please our God, whenever we do anything to further God's kingdom, any step back must be looked at from the spiritual perspective. We must not see that it is just the physical dimension, it is a physical problem. No, in fact, throughout the scriptures, we are reminded of this. All the way right to the end of the last book. Now, take the case of Adam and his son Abel and Cain. When Cain killed Abel, it was not just a simple matter of rivalry between the two brothers. No, it is a case of the ungodly seed trying to destroy the godly seed. See? And it is a clear sign of the fulfillment of the not too distant promise of God to Adam and Eve, that the seed of the woman will be at enmity with the seed of the serpent. And that was straight away sin in the case of Adam and Cain, Abel and Cain. And right all the way through to the end, the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, we see that to everything that happens in the physical realm, there is a spiritual dimension to it. Sekiranya kita ingin melayani Tuhan, sekiranya kita melakukan sesuatu untuk mengembangkan kerajaan Tuhan, apa-apa halangan pun seharusnya dinampak dari segi rohani. Apa-apa yang berlaku di dalam alam apa jasmani ada kaitannya dengan alam rohani, seperti juga diajar dalam Alkitab dari mula sampai akhir. Okay. So we see now that in the case of Jehoshaphat, he saw the spiritual struggle involved. It is not a straightforward matter of enemies attacking them. He related it to God's covenant, he related it to God's promise, and he saw that this is a matter that needs to be handled with care, with trust in the Lord. Now, how often it is that when we are serving God, we are faced with setbacks, and we try to solve our problems, and we get so weighed down, and we find the solutions left and right, and some we may even turn to God in prayer concerning our problems. But what needs to be noted is that often we overlook the fact that there is this spiritual struggle involved. It is as though we are watching a play on the stage, and we fail to see that behind the scene there is this invisible force that controls the forces that are related to what happens to the physical realm. Let us say, if the puppet on the stage were to raise an arm, you must remember that it triggers something in the spiritual realm. Or rather, we should say, whatever happened in the spiritual realm is reflected in the physical realm. So that is something to be noted. And that will change our perspective to the crisis that we are facing. It is no more a mere matter of asking for God to help us in the problems we are facing. Rather, we see that it is a spiritual battle, and therefore we come to God with a different spirit altogether. Jadi sekiranya kita tahu apa-apa yang berlaku dalam alam itu jasmani itu ada kaitannya ya dengan apa yang berlaku dalam alam rohani, kita akan berdoa kepada Tuhan dengan semangat yang lain, hati kita lain. Kita berhadapan dengan Tuhan dalam doa kita dengan kesedaran bahwa ini adalah satu pertempuran rohani. Now, of course, there is the great danger that we may overlook the fact that God is in control of all things, and he wants to handle things in a way in which we are involved. It is not a matter of spiritual forces at work in some mysterious way, such that we find objects flying about and we think that this idea of spirits are everywhere, like what some professing Christians are saying today. They look at everything as though spirits are everywhere. Now, no doubt we know that spiritist forces are at work, but we must not become mystical. We want to be aware of the spiritual realm, but we want to be aware that this spiritual realm operates in such a way that it is reflected in the physical realm, in a way that God is in control. So we do not come with working up this fear in us. No, that is not what we mean. We are not getting involved in mysticism, but what we need to take note of is the danger of us failing to see that there is a spiritual struggle involved. Now, what happened is this. Because it is a spiritual struggle, because this battle is not just a straightforward battle of the enemies attacking, Jehoshaphat did the right thing. He called upon the people to prayer and fasting, as you can see in verse 3 to verse 4. Jehoshaphat membuat perkara yang betul. Pertama, dia menyuruh ke semua orang Yehuda berdoa dan berpuasa. Kerana ini suatu pertempuran rohani. Ayat 3 sampai 4. Then, as they prayed, and as Jehoshaphat led the nation in prayer, you see what happened. God's word came to them. Verse 14 onwards, we are told that, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the son of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you." Now, we live in an age when the scripture is complete. There is no more direct communication of God's will to people. God's word is sufficient, and the Holy Spirit, who inspired the writing of this word, continue to speak to us through the written word. So we do not expect such direct prophecy coming to us. But nevertheless, the principle is there, that as we pray and communicate with God, we must be prepared also to listen to what God is saying to us. And His word must be heeded. Understand the word, obey it. So it is a two-way matter. We pray to God, and God speaks to us. We expect God to speak to us. But how does He speak to us? Today it is through the scriptures. Are we listening to His word? Are we understanding it and intending to heed it? That is more the important question. Sambil mereka berdoa, kata-kata Tuhan pun datang melalui seorang pelihat, seorang nabi pada masa itu dalam ayat ke-14. Itu yang kita sepatutnya menyangkakan. Sekiranya kita berdoa kepada Tuhan, kita akan mendapat jawaban. Tapi jawabannya bukan melalui wahyu baru atau firman Tuhan yang bersuara dari udara. Tidak. Dia sudah pun memberi firman yang tercatat. Firman itu dicatat dengan dorongan Roh Kudus Tuhan. Dan Roh Kudus Tuhan masih lagi menggunakan firman yang tercatat untuk berkata sesuatu kepada kita. Jadi kita tidak akan ada apa-apa nabi pada hari ini, kerana sememangnya Alkitab itu wahyu yang sempurna, tiada wahyu yang baru. Tetapi prinsipnya ada di sana. Tuhan akan menjawab kita melalui firman-Nya. Yang penting ialah kita mendengar apa yang Dia cuba kata kepada kita, mengertinya, dan ingin berbuat apa yang disuruh kita. Adakah kita hati semacam ini? There are times when we meet with certain individuals who talk too much. They never listen. And they ask you a question. Before you can answer, they will give the answer themselves and go on talking. So they ask you a question not to get an answer from you, not to find out what you think. They ask you a question only to get a hearing from you. That is what your mouths do. Such people are very unpleasant people to be with. They simply talk too much. They are too full of their own opinions. And it's unpleasant. But when we come before God, are we like that? Are we just praying and praying and praying? Well, which is good. But do we pray with the intention of hearing what God is saying to us? You see? So when God is speaking to us, through the word open to us, are we listening? Bukankah ada kalanya kita bertembung dengan orang yang bercakap terlalu banyak mereka bercakap? Ha? Mereka mungkin menanyakan soalan kepada kita, tapi sebelum kita menjawabnya, mereka sudah memberi jawabannya. Dan mereka terus bercakap dan bercakap, berbicara sampai tak berhenti-henti. Orang semacam itu memang tak sedaplah kita bergaul, kita ada hubungan dengan mereka. Mereka, orang semacam ini, tak ingin mendengar. Mereka inginkan kita mendengar kepada mereka. Akan tetapi, adakah kita semacam itu apabila kita menghadapi Tuhan dan berdoa? Ya, berdoa itu baik. Kita sesungguhnya mesti berdoa. Tetapi, adakah kita semacam orang yang yang bercakap terlalu banyak sehinggalah kita tidak mendengar apa yang Tuhan sedang berkata kepada kita. Kita sudah tahu pada masa kini Tuhan berkata kepada kita melalui firman-Nya yang sudah tercatat. Apabila khutbah disembahkan, disampaikan kepada kita, Tuhan sedang berkata sesuatu kepada kita. Adakah kita orang yang saleh sehingga kita berdoa tak berhenti-henti tetapi tidak mendengar firman Tuhan? Okay? So, are we people who claim ourselves to be so pious, so holy, that we are constantly praying, but we have not stopped to hear what God is saying to you? And what is God saying to you today as the Bible is opened up, as the word is preached? See, do we not find there are some Christians who appear to be so pious, who talk about prayer and do pray, and you see them praying, you see? But what is their attitude towards the preached word? Do they stop to listen? Do they receive God's word with care and try to understand? Are they people who are sensitive enough to discern what God is trying to say to them as the word is opened up to them? Now, I would say that it's easier for us to pray too much rather than to hear too much. You see? To hear God's word, I mean. You see? Now, people have this idea of piety in which they are encouraged to pray, but they are not encouraged to hear carefully and with the intention of obeying. Sememangnya ada banyak orang Kristian yang kelihatan saleh belaka. Mereka ini beriman dan kelihatan ingin berdoa. Itu sememangnya baik. Tetapi kesalehan mereka itu adalah agak agak anganjil sedikit. Mereka banyak sangat berdoa, terlalu sangat banyak mereka bercakap. Mereka tidak berhenti untuk mendengar firman Tuhan. Mereka tidak mementingkan pendengaran khutbahan. Sungguh pun ada baik kita berdoa, tapi kita sudah kurang mementingkan pendengaran khutbahan. Itu sudah tidak baik. Itu semacam seorang yang suka bercakap banyak tetapi enggan mendengar. So there is a category of people who appear so pious, who talk about prayer, which is good, but they are praying without emphasizing the equal, in fact, more greater importance of listening to the preaching of God's word. Now, if you are really a pious person, a person with faith, you want to pray. We are not asking you to stop praying. We must encourage that, remind ourselves of the need for prayer. But do we see that it is of equal importance, in fact, of greater importance for us to have that attitude of wanting to hear God's word in preaching? Every time we hear God's word being preached, are we sensitive enough to receive what God is saying to us with the intention of obeying Him? And this is the second point that I'm emphasizing, that we must place equal importance on the hearing of God's word. So we must see here the importance of it. Now, as we pray and as we hear God's word, now what is our response to God's word? The first response should be a response of praise. We pray to God, yes, but we must praise. Now, there are two basic responses to God as we know His will. You see, we pray in thanksgiving, but we also sing praises to Him. And this is where singing must never be looked upon as something less important or less value than prayer. Actually, praise is something that's taught everywhere in the Bible. God's people praise all the time. People worship God in praises, in singing praises to God. So singing should be part and parcel of the life of the Christian. When we are in grief, we can pray, but we can also sing. When we are in joy, we can pray, but we can also sing. And probably, singing is underemphasized. And again, we do not want to say that we are minimizing the importance of prayer. We do not want to minimize prayer. But are we giving enough attention to praise? Are we singing enough in our home, in our lives, in the church? Are we people who value singing sufficiently? We see abusers everywhere, and therefore we shrink from singing. People emphasize singing because it somehow causes them to enjoy themselves. They forget themselves to enjoy themselves. But there is a proper place for the singing of praises to God. God is pleased when we worship Him with praises. God is pleased when we sing to Him and not just merely for our enjoyment. Sememangnya kita harus berdoa, tetapi kita juga harus menyanyi pujian kepada Tuhan. Tuhan ingin mendengarkan pujian kita melalui lagu-lagu rohani. Kebanyakan orang sekarang terpesong, mereka sukakan nyanyi untuk hiburan sendiri dan bukan untuk pujian Tuhan. Oleh kerana itu, kebanyakan Kristian yang ingin menyembah Tuhan dengan baik, tidak berani mementingkan nyanyian. Tapi itu reaksi yang tak betul. Kita seharusnya kembalikan nyanyian ke tempat yang sewajarnya. Kita seharusnya berdoa, tetapi kita seharusnya juga bernyanyi pujian kepada Tuhan. So you see now that we need to recover the proper place of singing in our life. And I have to confess that perhaps my area of failure has been to emphasize sufficiently the right place, the rightful place of singing, you see. We fear so much the abuse of singing because other churches that have gone astray like to sing, you see. But they sing more for their own enjoyment. And certainly there is enjoyment derived from singing. But we must see that actually singing to God is an act of worship in the same way that prayer is an act of worship. And it is one of two possible responses to God's word. When God's word comes to us, we must respond in prayer. But another way to respond is by singing praises to Him. And that we see in the life and example of Jehoshaphat. We need to recover singing to its proper place. As there have been opportunities to travel, I have traveled in order to minister to God's people elsewhere. And I recognize that some communities sing more and more heartily than we here. And I believe that there is a lesson to be learned here. That while we are contributing towards the welfare of others, strengthening others in their faith elsewhere, we have something to learn from them. Namely that our praises need to be better. We need to sing more heartily. We need to sing more often in praise of God, not just merely for personal enjoyment. So there is a proper place of singing. Let us have more singing in our church. Let us sing more heartily from our hearts. When we are gathered together, let us not just talk, but there are times when we should be singing, perhaps singing more. And let us have more singing, the singing of spiritual songs in our homes. Let us each have a copy of our hymn book. What is the point of producing a hymn book, see, and not using it sufficiently? Is it just for the few minutes in church? Why can't we have it at home? Why can't each of us carry one with us wherever we travel? Just as we carry our Bible. And let us value the hymn book that we have, such that everywhere, in whatever circumstances, one of the things we do apart from prayer is to sing to God in praise when we respond to the truth that we have read or heard. So, satu daripada perkara yang seharusnya kita menitik beratkan ialah pujian kepada Tuhan dalam cara yang betul, bukan dalam cara yang salah yang ternampak di banyak gereja sekarang. Banyak gereja menyanyi saja. Mereka menitik beratkan nyanyian kerana itu satu hiburan kepada mereka sendiri. Mereka bukan menyanyi untuk menyembah Tuhan, untuk memujinya. Mereka sebenarnya suka menyanyi kerana mereka memang sukakan itu sebagai satu cara hiburan mereka. Tetapi kita seharusnya berdoa dan kita seharusnya juga menyanyi pujian kepada Tuhan. So you see now that there are these things that we need to learn. And you see, what happened is this. God fulfilled His word to Jehoshaphat and the nation. And He told Jehoshaphat that this is not your battle. This is my battle. Again, underlying the fact that in what is physical, there is that spiritual dimension. God look upon it as a battle that he is engaged in. So he is going to deal a blow to his enemies and show to his people that he is with them. He has not forsaken them.
Di sini kita menampakkan bagaimana Tuhan menjawab Yehoshafat dan orang Yahuda. Kata dia, kamu bersedia keluar, maju, tetapi bukan kamu yang akan melawan musuh. Aku yang melawannya. Ini peperangan aku. Ini menitik beratkan sekali lagi bahwa apa yang berlaku dari alam jasmani ada kaitan dengan apa yang berlaku dalam alam rohani. Tuhan ingin menunjukkan kuasanya dan membendung kuasa musuh supaya iman orang miliknya itu akan kuat, akan teguh. Jadi Tuhan sekarang menunjukkan kuasanya dan membuat sesuatu kepada musuhnya. Apakah yang dibuatnya?
And what did God do? What happened was something very unusual. Here were three nations that have combined forces to fight the enemies. And what happened is, two nations somehow combined forces to fight against one nation. And the nation of Seir, the Edomites, were attacked by the other two. So when they were completely destroyed, these two nations began to turn against one another and kill one another, and they dropped dead and they killed and killed until both nations all were completely dead. So three nations all killed themselves. It's an amazing situation. And how did God do it? Now there could be something that happened like this. Perhaps, you see, one of the people of Seir, the Edomite, began to perhaps did something which was not liked by the other two nations. It may have been a small matter, perhaps while they were camping there, cooking there, and he accused the other party, "Hey, why do you take my pot?" And the other party say, "Who has taken your pot? It probably is the other nation there that has taken the pot." So he turns his attention to the other and says, "Hey, you have taken my pot." He said, "No, you know, and why do you accuse me?" And he said, "No, it is the other who accused you." So these two begin to turn their attention against one. And so the two nations fight. It began with perhaps one individual, and very soon it became a matter of one nation against two. They fought, you see. Some such situation had been used without anything dramatic, without anything unusual. So God is ensuring that His will is fulfilled through the events that happen in everyday life. Don't ever think that God is in control only when there is dramatic healing or a dramatic miracles. He is in control in our everyday life. Bagaimana Tuhan melakukannya? Mungkin melalui kesalahpahaman yang dianggap biasa saja. Satu berkelahi dengan yang lain. Mereka saling menuduh. Kemudian dua bangsa melawan satu. Sehinggalah orang Seir atau orang Edom itu semuanya dibunuh. Kemudian kedua bangsa yang tertinggal itu membunuh satu sama lain. Sehinggalah tiada satu pun yang hidup. Itu dia kuasa Tuhan. Tanpa menggunakan apa yang disebut mujizat, kuasanya sudah ternampak. Dia berkuasa terhadap perkara-perkara yang dianggap biasa. Yeah. Dia memang Tuhan yang berkuasa. So you see now, God dealt a blow, a severe blow to the people. Now what is the lesson to us here? Many lessons can be drawn, but I want to point your attention to this. That we must never forget that God is in control in the everyday affairs of people in the world. Don't ever expect miracles and unusual happenings before you say that God is in control or God is at work. No, God is at work in the everyday affair. Not a sparrow will fall to the ground without His permission. All your hair is numbered, even when one drops, that is known to God. So God is in control of all things that happen around us. So our trust in God must be such that we see Him at work even in the everyday life, in our lives. So that means that a number of other things follow. The doctrine of providence covers not only positive things, but also negative things. When things happen to our advantage, it is God's providence. He is in control. But if things appear to be against us, it is also under God's control. God has allowed it to happen. We may not understand it at that time, but we must accept the fact that God has been in control. So learn to praise God. Learn to examine ourselves to see if God is saying something to us. Because God's hand is in everything that happens. Jadi ada beberapa pelajaran yang seharusnya kita amati. Yaitu, satu daripadanya ialah segala-galanya yang berlaku dalam kehidupan kita. Tak kira kecil atau besar, adalah di bawah kuasa Tuhan. Di bawah kehendak Tuhan. Dan bukan saja perkara yang baik kepada kita, tetapi perkara yang nampaknya buruk pada masa itu. Kita mungkin tak mengerti kesemuanya. Tetapi bila perkara semacam itu berlaku, kita seharusnya mengkaji diri sendiri, memeriksa diri sendiri kerana Tuhan berkuasa. Itu berlaku melalui kehendaknya. Jadi mungkin ada sesuatu yang perlu kita pelajari. Dan juga kita seharusnya puji Tuhan dalam keadaan semacam itu juga. Kerana Tuhan sememangnya berkuasa dan dia kehendaknya sedang ditunjukkan kepada kita. So whatever manifestation of God's will, whether in good things or bad, we learn to accept His will and praise Him for it. And finally, we take note that everything works out for the good of His people, so that His people can go back praising God even more. That is what you saw. And does not the scripture say that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who are the called according to His purpose? God certainly will work out things for the good of His people. We take courage in the knowledge that the Lord has never forsaken us, and His attitude towards us is always that of a loving Father. A father desires the best for his son and is always thinking of the good of his son. And of course, human fathers fail in so many ways. Often we have to learn, and especially sometimes even, you know, well-meaning fathers. Now, we are serving God faithfully here and there, and sometimes we forget our family needs, you see. But it would be good if you can remember your family needs. You're traveling. You remember your child at home, don't you? And you buy something for your child, and you see the happiness of the child, you see. And as the child grows up, these little things added up, and they come think back, you know, oh, I have the best father in the world, you see. And we are so imperfect, and yet we do that for our children because of our natural fatherly love for them. But what about God, who is perfect, the perfect Father, who never overlooks anything? He's always having that good disposition towards us. Anything good He will ensure that He will display before us. He will prepare for us. He will ensure that we get it for our good. And therefore, we can expect that God will work out all things well for us. Even what appears to be so painful, so difficult to understand at that time. When we fear so much, and we thought to ourselves, if ever I'm given a choice, I would not want to enter such a situation again. It's so very unpleasant. But we must learn to trust in the Lord. Learn to say, Your will be done. We know that it will all be for the good of His people. Kesemuanya akan berlaku, sehinggalah kebaikan itu dinikmati oleh orang milik Tuhan. Tidak sesuatu yang berlaku tanpa kehendak Tuhan, tanpa kuasanya. Dan dia sentiasa memikirkan kebaikan anaknya. Kalau seorang bapa manusia dapat memikirkan yang baik untuk anak-anaknya, takkanlah Tuhan kita, Bapa yang paling sempurna, tak memikirkan kebaikan kita. Sungguh pun perkara itu baik pada masa itu. Perkara itu susah difahami kita. Tetapi kita menerimanya kerana kita tahu Tuhan Bapa akan menyelesaikan segala-galanya untuk kebaikan anak-anaknya. So as we come to a close, you see now that whenever you are faced with crisis in our life, it may not be an indication that you are proud that you have gone astray. It happens also to those who are faithful to God. Don't always draw the conclusion that you have done wrong or you know this is a punishment upon you. Crisis do happen to those who are godly. Jadi ada krisis yang berlaku terhadap mereka yang saleh, yang beriman juga. Apabila berlaku krisis, tak semestinya kita sudah berdosa. Tidak semestinya itu suatu hukuman dari Tuhan. Krisis boleh berlaku kepada mereka yang beriman juga, yang sentiasa taat kepada Tuhan. Then we must also learn the lesson that it is important for us to look to God in prayer and also respond to His truth by hearing carefully. And then when we hear His truth, we must know that there are these two responses that we must engage in, prayer and praise. Bila berlaku krisis, kita seharusnya berdoa, bersandar kepada Tuhan kita. Dan apabila kita berdoa, kita seharusnya mendengar apa yang Dia cuba berkata kepada kita. Dan apabila kita sudah mendengar, kita seharusnya memujinya dengan doa dan juga dengan nyanyian rohani. Jadi itulah beberapa cara kita menangani krisis dalam kehidupan kita. So these are some of the things that we can do in a moment of crisis in our life. And then we must finally take note that our Father in heaven desires the best for His children. And we know that the outcome will be for our good. So let us rest in Him. Akhir sekali kita seharusnya mempelajari pelajaran ini. Yaitu Tuhan Bapa kita kasih kepada kita. Dan Dia akan membuat segala-galanya untuk kebaikan anak-anaknya. So as we come to a close, we come to note that these are precious lessons to be learned from the life of Jehoshaphat concerning how we are to face crisis in our lives. May God really help us in our many trials in our Christian life.